Rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered around him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. One of the dangers I have as I invite you to take out the sermon outline is things just kind of come and associations get made. And as I'm reading this time, something jumped out at me that didn't beforehand. And I always feel the need to share it with you. Leslie says, don't feel that need to share everything. But this one is really rich. What a reversal we've got going. Do you notice how Jesus sat down and began to teach the people who stood? And as I see some yawns this morning, maybe I should take my seat and teach you this morning and have you all stand. Then if I fall asleep seating, you can get seated and fall asleep too. I don't know how that happened, but did you notice that? Forgive me, that's just what happens when I read. Even though I'm going to preach on the gospel text, I want to start with that text in Isaiah chapter 55. And it's no mistake that in this long season after Pentecost, the first lesson and the gospel are always coordinated. Second lesson is going consecutive at this point. In other seasons, it would be tied in more directly. But I like the words that God spoke to the prophet Isaiah. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Oh, that powerful word of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and everyone said, amen. The gospel lesson ought to be pretty familiar to us in this room because we're familiar. And it's been called the parable of the The sower. And I think it's rightfully titled that because the main actor in this parable is the sower and the sowing of the sower's seed. That's the main actor. The soil is being acted upon and is receiving what the sower sows, right? And that's true of all the Christian faith. Make sure that we're emphasizing that it's all about Jesus and what he accomplishes on our behalf. And he finishes what he accomplishes by dying and rising that we might have forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. So indeed, I think it's right that it's called the parable of the sower. That having been said, the parable seems to spend a good deal of attention on soil and the different soil types. And so I'll use that as my excuse to pay a lot of attention to the soil types while not forgetting this is still primarily about the sower and the sowing of his seeds. And the reason I say that is because it is the sower and his seeds that is capable of producing new life, that plant, and its growth and its intention that it bear fruit. Right? It belongs to the sower and the sower's seed. It doesn't belong to the soil. The soil does not produce new life. The soil does not produce the growth and the fruitfulness. The fact is, you can rain on that soil all you want to, but without seeds, the only thing, if anything, the soil can produce is a whole lot of mud. And we are good at being muddy soil. Well, we'll get to the assigned meanings there. So are we all agreed that the emphasis and the power and the work is the sower and the seed? Thumbs up on this? All right. But in the telling of this story, I believe one of Jesus' main intention was two disciples that were receiving beneficially the sower and his sowing, which is the declaration the kingdom of God is at hand. With my arrival, Jesus is saying, repent and believe in the gospel. They are receiving it, but they're noticing he's going all around their varying reactions to his teaching. And they might have been a little flummoxed about this. The very reactions that happened today, some outright just disregarded and were at odds and even with animosity at what Jesus taught and has proclaimed. Why is that? And others are indifferent. Does that happen today? They're not particularly angry, but not particularly engaged and rather indifferent. And some, by golly, are receiving, some very enthusiastically, but even of those who are receiving what he is teaching, what he's doing in his ministry, there's varying reactions. Some don't stay the course very long, and others through thick and thin are keeping the course. Why is this? And I believe this parable gets at that. By the way, even though we're not the main actor, we are now busy planting seeds, but we need to always remember that it's always the sower planting the seeds, even though we carry that message because that message is his. It's what he speaks, and now our voices get to speak it on his behalf. It's even completed a little bit more because in Jesus' telling, he hasn't died and risen again, but he is right. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right in your midst with my arrival, with my incarnate birth. So repent and believe in the gospel. But now we complete this message through the apostles of understanding it's arrived in the most unexpected way as a seed. This is a different use of seed that falls into the earth and dies, but if it dies, it will produce much fruit. That Jesus came to die and rise again for the forgiveness of our sins. So we can not only say it's arrived, but it's accomplished its purpose through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can have our sins forgiven and removed, and we can have the gift of eternal life and look forward to living with him in his kingdom forever. But even when we proclaim that word, it's actually still the sower sowing his seed, right? Keep him the main actor. And when I forget that in preaching and teaching, let me know that. We can talk about a lot of things, but we need to keep that in mind. But why is it that there's this varied reception, and Jesus tells a parable. And I'm going to start at one level, but we've been cut in just like the disciples were told what the meaning, because they didn't get it. If you feel like you get it now, why were they so thick? Well, we've read the whole account, and we've been around for quite a while. And we are among the disciples that get to hear his explanation. Does that ever occur to you that everybody's really wondering what he means by that? And then he says to the disciples privately, I'll explain it to you, and we're having that explanation too. That must mean that we're his disciples. But they didn't get it at first. And I'm not sure without the help we would have gotten it either. So Jesus starts to say there's nothing wrong with the seeds in this parable. The sower's sowing them and just tossing them all over. It's not like modern day. They broadcast by tossing seed. And some falls on the path. And of course those seeds don't penetrate at all in the soil. And birds come along just as they would today and take up the seed. And he explains the meaning of it. He says, the sower is the Son of God, the seed is the word that he preaches, and the soil is the hearts of those, and the beaten path are those that don't understand that the word doesn't penetrate at all, that the heart is hardened. And the birds stand for what?
The enemy.
The devil, the enemy, who snatches them away. Lest they sit there too long and have a chance to penetrate. The devil's always at work against the Word of God. If it doesn't penetrate at all, he snatches it away. He can snatch it away so that the Word of God isn't preached authentically, or it isn't listened to at all. But he doesn't give up when it penetrates. We'll see that in the other soil types. He'll cause a shallowness and distractions to come along. The devil's chief assaults into us isn't scaring the living daylights out of us, jumping out of a bush with a pitchfork. Would that it were that simple. I know who I'd be crying out to mercy for if he came to me that way, right? I don't think he wants me thrown into the arms of Christ's mercy. Dulling my interest, hardening my heart. And that's what hardened soil is. What is a hardened heart? I've got scriptures that you can look at. But as we continue to sin and not listen to the voice of conscience, we get seared consciences. We get hardened hearts. I've got young people in the room that know something that as adults we typically forget. The reason why you're tempted and sometimes give in to temptation is because it can be awful exciting to do things that we shouldn't be doing, at least initially, and it can be fun, or we would never sin. Adults have a hard time admitting that, but you know what I'm saying is true. But I remember as a young person, as young as our young Roll family here, and I didn't always do what I was supposed to do, and I would do it with some of my friends, and we knew we shouldn't be doing what we were doing. And I wish I could say I was having a miserable time, but I wasn't. I was having a great time. But I got real envious of my friends because I had a good time when I was with them. And then when I got home from the sleepover or whatever, when I got home, I wasn't feeling so good. It was like something sweet, but now I got an upset stomach about it. And I had parents that watched over me and were too strict. And I didn't like it at the time. And they were the reason, doggone it, that I didn't have as much fun because I had to sneak around and I got caught all the time. And I envied my other friends because they seemed to not only have a good time when we were sinning, but they seemed to be just fine about it later. But what I know later is probably a lot of them had the same guilty conscience and weren't having as sweet a time as they led on, just like me, but they were pretending otherwise on the one case, or it could have already been the more disastrous case. They had been doing it often enough that they'd tuned out that voice of conscience. And they weren't troubled about it anymore. And that's a dangerous, dangerous position to be in. We'll face that the rest of our life if we don't listen to the voice of conscience and go to repentance and repeat it. We can get hardened in our heart. It's a wonderful thing, a pricked conscience, and we know what to do with it. Even when it's hardened, we may feel better about it, but that won't save us from the consequences of our sins. So that's one on productive soil type. The second one is there are seeds that were scattered on, and I'm going to call it shallow soil. It's rocky. That's why it was shallow, a slate of rock underneath thin soil. And such seeds spring up right away and have really exuberant quick growth. I don't know farming real well. But I think from a little gardening experience, one reason for that is as the spring temperature comes up and you have to have a certain temperature for seeds to germinate, the shallow soil would warm up quicker. And so maybe, you know, that's a productive thing. But in any case, the seeds go up. But as the season progresses and that hot, scorching sun comes out with no depth of roots and no depth of soil, the plants shrivel up. New life was produced and some growth, in fact, as excitedly took place, but it ended up scorched before it could be a harvest. And Jesus said, these are the shallow people that don't take teaching and develop a deep root system. We talked about this in the men's Bible study, and Jared offered, would that be like people that glob on immediately to Jesus because they're all into his miracles and the signs that he was doing? But as the Gospels progress, many of them, as Jesus talked more and more about the cost of discipleship and his path to Jerusalem and the delay for the full consummation of everything promised while we're sustained in a world where we'll have tribulation, many fall away, and I think that's a good application. They're all along for the fun ride, but weren't really well grounded. I worry about this one excessively today because I think subtly when we proclaim the gospel today, we start to think that we're selling something. And when you sell things, you don't talk about any of the shortcomings and you play up every advantage to it. I think we shouldn't think in terms of selling. We want to promote the kingdom of God. I think we should think in terms of being faithful and declaring the truths of the message that have been well established, even knowing if God has and prepared the hearts, we may get resistance. Jesus did. Why wouldn't we? It's not what we want, but don't alter the message. Even heathen would like to have a miracle to get over their sickness, and if they got it, they'll be jolly well happy with that as long as nothing else is expected of them. What if God makes the most amazing promises in health and well-being, but actually that's only fulfilled in the resurrection of the body on the last day, and there may be healings from time to time temporarily in this life, but there's every indication that if you follow Jesus as we had last week, that all the anger that was thrust on him will be taken out on his followers. And see, please know this, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What if the authentic gospel is involved in deepening roots and paying close attention and discipline approach to learning the faith so that we can go through thick and thin? Then there's a third on productive soil. Seed is cast on to soil that has thorns, and the thorns grow up along with the plants, but they choke out the life, so those plants also don't have any kind of a harvest afterwards. And Jesus makes it real clear, but listen carefully to the words he says, that those who receive the word of God, but the cares of this life, some of those cares may not be really bad things, and the deceitfulness of anybody looking at it? The deceitfulness of what? Riches? Yeah. Money's the root of all evil, right? Oh, the love of money. But we can absolve, say, well, okay, so I won't need to worry about money as long as I don't love it. I think it's still the leading idol. We got to watch out for it. Money can be a good tool. But the deceitfulness of life, I want to call this the distractions of our shallowness. And by the way, today, I really believe in our culture, all the expansive growth, a mile wide is about a half inch deep, because I don't think we're sitting very tight for the painstaking work of developing a good root system. But then when we try to do that, I think we're just abounding with distractions. And the cares of this life don't have to be evil things. They don't have to be bad addictions, pornography, theft, all kinds of illicit kinds of things. There can be a lot of good things. There can be entertainments in and of itself. Some entertainment in our life is good. You need to unstring the bow once in a while and relax the limb. You can't be strung up and serious all the time. But on the other hand, you just can't be frivolous and full of trivia and entertainment all the time. We have the capability with our affluence and with our entertainment industry to just to be entertained all the time. The biggest difficulty I have, I've been at it long enough. I hope I'm not a false kind of pride. I love digging deep. You suffer from it. I like to make all the connections and keep going in Scripture. But I got to tell you, this many years in, and I do better in my morning devotions, and I have a long period. I just out of habit get up early and everything. But so help me, sometimes 15 minutes has gone by, and I've read a whole chapter, and I think, what have I just read? My mind's all over everything I'm going to do today, and what I want, and what I need to order on Amazon, and what will complete this and do that, and the next thing. You with me? None of you have any trouble. The distractions, the weeds that are coming up. One of the biggest differences. I think our biggest problem isn't so much the beaten path. It's possible in here. And we got to beware. I'm most worried about depth and deep soil and deep rootedness. And I'm really particularly worried about our distractions, and especially some of the good distractions. Sometimes the good can be the greatest enemy of the best. And I think especially when we've been walking, we need to worry about that oftentimes more than some of the most destructive things. Are you with me? You need to say that just so we can keep moving along. All right? Now, I've really gotten a long ways away from the fact that the main actor is Christ and the sower and the seed. And I've been spending a lot of time on soil. But soil's passive. The soil can't do anything about it being a path. It can't do anything about its depth. It can't do anything about its weeds. Right? If a beaten path is going to become productive, it's going to need the very one who plants seeds to come along with in the garden, the rototiller, and in the farm, the plow, and break up that soil, right? The soil doesn't break itself up. If it's shallow because of rocks, it pulls rocks out of the field. And in your garden, if you need better soil and more humus, you better get that compost pile going and build some soil. The soil doesn't build itself, right? You with me? If it's full of weeds, you got to get at them. You got to get in there and start weeding them. You never get rid of all the weeds, but you get at them aggressive enough that those plants have half a chance. Okay? So we're off the hook here. So are you who sows a good seed. Make sure my heart is all prepared. But here's the rub. It's true that the Bible speaks in terms of our passive, our being receiver of what God gives. But if you haven't noticed, we're not like a rock or a stump. We're not inanimate objects, right? Would that we were, and he just did whatever he needed to with us, but we're far more clever than that. We are living beings that can talk back and aren't forced to do anything and everything. So whatever it means that we're passive and he needs to do the work on us so that we can fruitfully receive his word, God doesn't just work upon us, he works in and through us differently than he would a rock or a stump. Are you with me? Because this is a little bit involved, but I think it's so important. But passive, we need to be very careful with, because sometimes the Bible speaks in terms that if we're not careful, we could think it depends on us, but if we're not careful, we could think that our passive part is just like, okay, I yield to you, God, do your work on me, put me under the anesthesia, and when I wake up, everything will be good. I don't know that, right? You know that. No, we're alive and we cooperate. I know that's dangerous words, and we even work with him as he does his work on us. Oh boy, Pastor, you're in dangerous ground. You bet I am. We got to live on this dangerous ground because, again, our passivity does not always look that way. We need to work and cooperate and exert energy on our part for him to work in and through us. But it's more complicated than that, really. Actually, as we're doing that, It's actually him at work in and through us, and I don't understand the mystery, but I know if we don't talk about that and act like it's just being put under the anesthesia, don't we wish? Boy, Satan tries to get us every way he can, that we're going to miss it. Do you know we can talk about working out our own salvation? And it's dangerous indeed, because we might actually believe our work accomplishes something, but work we must. Paul, of all people, knew better than anyone that our works accomplish nothing. But he says in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not reading it all right now, but he could say that, and he could say that without any fear. That doesn't sound like going under anesthesia, does it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God at work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I work with all my energy, but if I think I'm accomplishing something and I think I'm doing good, I'll be full of pride and say, what's wrong with you people? You need to work and exert a little more energy, and I'm in big danger. But I still got to risk this danger. Or the other thing happens, I've been working and exerting a lot of energy, but when it gets to the end of the day, I didn't do his will and good pleasure. I guess I'm doomed, because I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, that would be to depend on myself, and not on the fact that he's already accomplished for me. That doesn't get me off the hook for working it out. But he's already accomplished, and I can repent and receive forgiveness. But what can happen and must happen is that some working out gets done, never complete in this lifetime, not so that our salvation is accomplished, but so that I can do of his good pleasure what I was created for in the beginning to do. Are you with me? So I better sum this thing up. I can think of a lot of other connections. Leslie knows I can. But I want to sum this up by saying this. As we look to the sower and his seed, as we rightfully do, also look to him to do his work, to prepare the soil of our hearts so that we can receive it for new life, for growth, and all the way to a rich harvest. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. See, it would have really helped to have had you stand up and me to sit down. So I will have you stand up now. And we'll continue with the hymn of the day, which is 713. It's our privilege to be able to confess our faith, and we'll do so in the words of the Apostles' Creed as found on page 33. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, fill the church with the Holy Spirit. Make it beautiful with holiness and rich with wisdom. Let your word take root in it and accomplish that which you purpose. We especially ask this for the Moravian Church. Lord, in your mercy, grant patience, courage, and gentleness to everyone who is persecuted on account of Jesus, and do not let their witness to you return to you empty. Uproot the stones and weeds from the hearts of their tormentors, so that they may bear the fruits of repentance and be saved. We especially pray for Didi and Serafina Ponzo in their time of furlough from the foreign mission field. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Deal mercifully with this congregation. Make our words, deliberations, and ministries faithful and fruitful. Uproot the deep-rooted weeds and remove the stubborn stones of sin from the fields of our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for favorable weather and fruitful earth, for the fields and orchards, flocks and herds, streams and seas which nourish us all. Bless farmers and ranchers, fishers and shepherds, gardeners and all whose knowledge and effort helps to protect, preserve, and wisely use the gifts of creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this nation, beset by troubles and strife, yet still our beloved country. Reform its laws, purify its speech, instruct its leaders, and soften every heart to see one another as your beloved children, created in your image and redeemed at great cost by your dear Son. We especially pray for our President Donald Trump and our Governor Tony Evers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those tasked with defending life and liberty. Conform their actions to your will so all may enjoy the fruits of safety, concord, freedom, and justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring healing and hope to everyone who is afflicted by sorrow, suffering, and illness. We especially pray for Berger Akloff, Cynthia Granger, Carol Halderson, Janet Sissel, Doris Stonke, Pastor Dave Stephenson, Marge Wangen, Phil Weber, John Meunier, and those we now name before you. For Pam. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, dear Father, for all who have died trusting in you. Lead and guide us who still walk a road that is stony and desolate, overgrown with the thorns of sin and briars of violence. Crown our years with blessing. By the merits of your dear Son, gather us safely to yourself, wherewith all whom you have redeemed, we may sing with joy forever. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Now what? This is when we normally have the offering, right? So be seated and give me a moment to prepare the table.
God,
We offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Go ahead, the front row. The body of Christ given for you. 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 The body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
Christ given for you. The body of 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 Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace.
Amen.
Hearts and voices raised, let everyone what God has done, let all seek the Lord, rejoice, and bear Christ home. Promises, O God, and lead us forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you provide the true bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant that we who have received the sacrament of his body and blood may abide in him and he in us, that we may be filled with the power of his endless life, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. $6.99.
Salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is the story, this is my song.